The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Joined in studio by Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at the School of Immunology at Trinity College in Dublin. Luke, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, we're looking at this very dramatic outbreak of meningitis in Britain. Is it really maybe a dull news day, or is this something really significant?
It was a few days ago, Pat, because, you know, very serious. Like 30 people infected, 2 people died, tragically, as you may have noticed as well. So now, normally in the UK, you'd have 300 cases a year, but here were 30 cases in 3 or 4 days. So there was a concern it might be a new variant. That was the big worry. But this morning, actually, the news is not. It's been around before, so that isn't the concern. So, but still, it's still there, and people are still getting infected.
You know? Now, how do you believe all these kids got it?
Well, that's the next question, I suppose. Yeah. Well, again, it will present with the symptoms. And, you know, I think there's about 5 kids in induced comas, which is a serious thing,
yeah,
you know.
Sure.
And, of course, the symptoms, you know, I mean, people should be aware of this. It happens in Ireland as well, remember, severe headache, nausea, vomiting, and it can escalate very quickly. Meningitis is strange because you can catch it. Within a day, you're in a very severe situation. So, because people should be on the alert anyway with children, teenagers, to see.
Now, where does the name meningitis come from? What does it refer to?
It's inflammation of the meninges. And then the anitis means an inflammatory condition, you know. The meninges is a little thin tissue that surrounds your brain and your spinal cord and protects it. That's where this bacteria goes, infects the meninges, and then the immune system kicks in, and that causes the inflammation that begins to sort of cause the head. The first symptoms are headaches and confusion because it's in the brain. That's when it begins.
Now, when it can lead to sepsis, what's happening there? Because it doesn't lead to sepsis in every case, but in quite a few.
Well, I'd worked on this about 15 years ago. Sepsis was a big thing for my lab. And what happens there is the bacteria goes into your blood system. It's called blood poisoning, septicemia. Now it's in your body and wreaks havoc in your liver, your kidneys, your heart, your blood pressure plummets. Extremely serious. And with this particular bacteria, it's called Neisseria. It's more likely to be really difficult if it goes into your bloodstream. Now, not everybody gets that. Sometimes it stays in the brain. But even still, the brain swelling can be lethal as well. So people die either of the brain being badly injured or developing an into sepsis.
So these kids, a lot of them were said to be at a nightclub, and I mean, there's a chain reaction. If someone kisses somebody in a nightclub who then goes on to kiss someone else behind the bike shed or whatever.
You've got
That's how it happens.
It happens in teenagers for that reason. Babies are the biggest risk group. Under 1 year of age, it's very serious in that age group. Hence, parents should be vigilant with it. They get a floppy kind of, but the body turns into a floppy state as to watch for. And the second group are teenagers because they've all gone out for the nights there. They're in their halls of residence and now it's spreading among them. They reckon, Pat, there were 2 options when this started. One was it was a new variant, which was a frightening prospect. It's a whole new variant. Or it was a kind of a perfect storm, a nightclub and a super spreader. And they reckon it was one person in that nightclub was heavily infected and maybe infected 5, 6, 7 students. It comes out, it's not like COVID, it's not on the air. It's in spittle and things like that. I know fluids is where you see it really.
Now, what about the different types? There's bacterial meningitis and there's viral meningitis. How are they different?
Well, it's funny this because the viral one isn't that troublesome. Normally we think a virus will make you sicker.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, a virus can go into the meninges, cause a bit of inflammation, then gets cleared, and most people don't have too many symptoms from the viral form of this. But the bacterial one, again, goes into that part of your body, but it's much more severe. So the viral one's less damaging.
Now, let's talk about either prevention, if you can, are there vaccinations? And then if you do feel you might be infected even slightly and you do something prophylactic, antibiotics
That's
as a treatment or prophylaxis.
The good news is they work really well, you know. I mean, 90% protection with antibiotics will stop it spreading immediately. So that's good, you know. So if people do present with symptoms, you can go on the antibiotics. Speed is of the essence, Pat, though. And there is talk of prophylactic use in teenagers. They've often wondered, should we give teenagers? And antibiotics have side effects, so this wouldn't be ideal, you know. But they work great, right? And then the vaccine even better. The trouble is the vaccine takes about 4 weeks to kick in. So that's a tricky bit. You need 3 shots actually of most of these vaccines for meningitis. So therefore, if there's an outbreak, the vaccine will begin to work. Now, it begins to work immediately to some extent, but it's optimal after about 4 weeks.
Are there a number of different types of bacterial or viral meningitis where vaccines might have to be tailored?
There are. It's all letters, A, B, C, D, and so on, you know. The B one is the one that we're talking about with this outbreak. But the second type of vaccine is the other ones. And in fact, I'm not sure about in Ireland. In the UK, when you go into school, like when you're in first year in school as an infant or whatever, they get the second set of meningitis vaccines. Meningitis B is the most common one. And that's the one you see babies being given.
So babies get that, and then there's a booster given in schools in the UK.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I think the same in Ireland. I presume the protocol. They've worked, we've known of this for years about meningitis, but 30, 40 years of knowledge, you know, and the vaccine works really well. But we've noticed you need a booster to really get it to work properly.
And what about the variants? I mean, do you need different vaccines for different variants?
No. The good news there, by the way, is that, and then when they sequence the DNA, now what's good about this part is the meningitis bacteria, it's got its genetic material. It's 100 times bigger than COVID. So it's a much bigger thing. It took quite a while then to get the sequence. That's why we didn't know if it was a new variant or not. Finally, this morning, they got the full sequence of it. But it turns out that this one, all the vaccine, the meningitis B vaccine works very well against it. So there's no need to design new vaccines at the moment.
Now, a concentrated outbreak, 30 cases, you know, one-tenth really of the cases per year in a small area in a few days. What are the dangers of it spreading here, for example?
Well, they're watching that closely. There's a case in London and a case in France, they think, started in Kent. So that obviously it can move outside that region. And the NHS have called this a national thing more than a regional thing. So you never know. There could be somebody coming from Kent to Ireland and we're bringing it with them. There's no evidence of that as yet. But of course, the HSE is watching this closely. They're in touch with the NHS to keep an eye on this. But it could spread. The worry part is there's about a 10-day incubation period usually. So, okay. Now, the thing is, we're coming out of it, by the way. The peak has passed in the UK. But the risk would be you might spread it to someone else. And then another one kicks off, you know. So again, it's a little bit vigilant is the advice at the moment.
Okay, and we do vaccinate kids here, babies here, I presume.
So. We do indeed, yeah. Now, in fact, it's one of the first vaccines a baby gets, 4 weeks of age. You get the meningitis B vaccine, and that makes perfect sense because if a baby gets it, the chance of that developing into severe disease is there, and then the vaccine works really well, you know.
All right, Luke, we'll be looking forward to seeing you on Sky News later in the day.
That's right. That's it.
Okay, Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at the School of Immunology at Trinity College in Dublin. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.